You are now listening to episode 304 of the Flip Empire Show.
Okay, hold on. Let me make sure I don't have anything in my mouth.
Okay, so I'm actually recording the episode already, and this has to be part of the blooper section.
Well, especially given the fact that you asked me the last time I interviewed you if you had any hangers.
Yes, it's important.
Or I forget what you called it, but you called it something silly. Like, they're called boogers, Alex. Cliffhanger. You were like, do I have any mucus or...
So with your permission, this has to be part of the episode. With your permission.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up, my friends? This is Alex Pardo. I'm the host of the Flip Empire Show. And what you just heard are just some of the shenanigans between my good friend, Christina Kraus, and I. She is somebody that has just become somebody that I look up to and admire. And we've become close over the last couple of years. We're a part of a couple of different masterminds. And not only is she just a super down-to-earth, genuine, awesome human being, but she is such a sharp entrepreneur. I mean, this woman is a rock star in every way, and somebody who's an absolute marketing expert. She has built a business over the last several years called Postal Impact, where she works with some of the most successful real estate investors across the country. I am talking about people doing hundreds and hundreds of deals a year and have seven-figure businesses. And a lot of these investors go to her because of how dialed in she is to data analytics. She's on the cutting edge of what's working, what's not working, because she has access to this global shared economy of data with all these different real estate investors. She sees everything that works, not just in direct mail, but also in cold calling and a lot of other marketing channels. She's just a direct response marketing ninja, right? And because of the type of business she's in, the service she provides, she sees what people are doing that works, what people are doing that's not working. And guys, it's not always about throwing more. You're going to hear in this episode how we dive into, number one, we dive into marketing and kind of debunking the myth that you have to throw marketing dollars in order to do more deals and generate more leads. But it's about getting better with what you already have. You know, she's the one that initially she told me. She personally told me in a mastermind session when I was bringing a challenge to the table, she said, you got to scale to be better, not scale to be bigger. You guys have probably heard me mention that a few different times on some of the episodes. She's the one that was quoted as saying that, and it really resonated with me. And so she brings so many gold nuggets and just valuable information on this podcast that I know is going to help you. We have a lot of fun in the process, and we joke around with each other, as you heard in the intro. So, you know, by the way, not only does she have this awesome, successful business that helps investors, she is an investor herself. She's been in this game a long, long time. So she understands not just the marketing side, but she also understands from a perspective of, you know, in our shoes as real estate investors. So having said that, guys, I'm excited to bring to you my friend, Christina Kraus. All right, guys. So I have my good friend, the amazing Christina Kraus. I absolutely love this woman. She is awesome in every way. And she is an absolute ninja when it comes to marketing, lead gen. Just, she's a rock star. And I don't say that. I know that term is thrown around a lot. But so this is actually round two. We're going to include the link to the first time Christina was on the episode in the show notes page. So definitely check out that interview. We got a treat for you guys because, like I said, we're going to be talking about all things marketing. We're going to be talking about the difference between being a true business owner and those that kind of pretend to be business owners and what that looks like, because I know that that's also tossed around a lot. So having said that, how are you, Miss Cliffhanger here? By the way, your nose is fine. You don't have anything.
I feel like as you get older, you're less aware of stuff that's like hanging around and on your face and stuff. And on top of that, it's bad because you also don't care as much. Like you're like, oh, yeah. I have a booger. My bad.
Well, listen, I'm the type of person that if you had something in your tooth or in your nose, I would tell you. I wouldn't, like, I hate when people are like, oh, I was embarrassed. I don't want to tell you anything. I'm like, dude. So
I know. Yeah. Somebody said that to me once. They were like, I was going to tell you, but I didn't want to embarrass you in front of people. And I was like, so you're telling me now when I'm not in front of everybody? Are you kidding me?
Makes no sense.
Wait until I walk around like that?
Makes no sense. So how are you? How's life since we connected on the last time when I had you on the show? Obviously, you and I talk, I feel like, on a pretty frequent basis, but your business has completely done a 180, and it's on, to say it's on the upswing is an understatement, because obviously you work with some of the biggest investors in the country and you have access to data and things that people would kill for. So
yeah, I'm kind of nerdy.
Yes. We'll talk to
you. I love it. Business is great. And I love it because I feel like business is starting to do really, really well because people are starting to get, like, for 2 years, I think people got really sick and tired of me talking about data and analytics and making sure that you know your numbers and KPIs and and I think people are starting to get it.
Yeah.
But not only that, I think there are starting to be solutions for people who get it. Like, you get, yeah, that's important, but I'm never going to do it. We all have those kinds of things in our lives, right? Like, where you're like, no, you don't have to sell me on the idea of it, but I'm not going to do it. So, you know, we've created this business where we've identified what are those types of pain points for clients where they clearly understand it's something that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. How do we create some kind of system or automation that holds them accountable to actually doing it? And then, you know, holding them accountable to greatness. That's kind of an internal buzz that we have in our office, is always holding our clients accountable to greatness. How do we do that? You know? Honestly, I'll say it this way too. Like, we've done better already this year than we did the entire year last year. And we had a great year last year, but I think that's like a New Year's resolution thing, Alex. Like, I think people like got into the new year. They were like, okay, I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah.
So, you know, we took on a lot of consulting clients and people, you know, who wanted us to go into their businesses like we do and look at their numbers and analyze their campaigns and analyze their people and things like that. We've been doing a lot of that. It's been so much fun.
So it's been awesome for me from the outside, because you and I see each other, what, 7 times a year now through different masterminds. And it's amazing to see the growth and evolution of your business and how I see people that I highly admire and respect that have huge 7-figure businesses, at least for our space, come to you. Like, they need you and they pay you a lot of money so that you guys can dig into their data, figure out what's working, what's not working. So kind of along those lines, and I realize maybe this isn't the best place to start, but there's a big portion of the audience that I would consider to be intermediate investors. Obviously, we have newbies that listen to the show. We have a lot of advanced people as well. But from a marketing perspective, what are you seeing now? You know, by the time this episode is released, it's the beginning of Q2. 2019. What are you seeing? What do people need to be made aware of? And here's the caveat, because I know we're going to talk about this. It's not always about throwing money at more marketing to generate leads, but it's also getting better with what you already have, right?
Yes. So that is huge for me. It's having an honest evaluation of what you're doing and whether or not it's working, and then making sure that you're maximizing the opportunity that's already in front of you instead of throwing additional money at other marketing, even though I think that's our bend, right? You're like, oh, I got to try that, and oh, I got to try that. And what I always tell people, it's what I was on the kick of last year, is, you know, make sure that you scale to be better first before you scale to be bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because why duplicate a broken or a mediocre process? If you look at the process that's in place right now, or the marketing that you're doing right now and it's mediocre, then either figure out a way to perfect it, or, you know, get really, really good at it, or determine that it's a method that you want to put to bed and eliminate it. That's very rare that happens, by the way. Despite the fact that more often than not, I see it every single day. People say, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm not saying that that's not the right answer, but I am saying that that is probably the answer 80% of the time with people, where they stop doing things, and it should be flip-flopped. It should be 80% of the time you should be looking at it and making sure that you're figuring out why it's not working and doing a better job and not quitting.
I think the consistency factor is huge. It's a big part of the reason even the most successful investors and guys that have big operations fail, is they start, I think they just take their foot off the gas too early. But why do you think in our space, including myself, we're so damn lazy when it comes to marketing? Like, I feel like everybody piggybacks on like the latest postcard or the latest. It's just like, I just feel like in our space, when I'm around internet marketing circles, and guys that get it, they kind of laugh at us. They're like, wait, your main marketing channel is direct mail. And there's nothing wrong with that. Direct mail is awesome. But it's like, why do you think we're just so lazy when it comes to the marketing that we do send out?
Here's what's funny. And this is going to get, we're going to get right to the heart of what I think is most people's issues. And it's about not, it's about owning a business versus operating a business.
Okay. So elaborate.
Yeah. So how do I want to say this? We're wired, myself included. I'm an entrepreneur just like everybody else. And I have that visionary, you know, kind of thing going on just like everybody else. We want the lightning and we're trained to believe that we're successful when we create this big fire moment. So we're always wanting that big, huge thing that happens. The best way that I can liken it to is, you know, kind of like a star athlete, right? So what we see are these moments of greatness. What we don't see, and there's not one of them. Now, there's an incredible amount of natural talent, obviously, but in order for somebody to go from the high school star to the, you know,
professional athlete.
I don't follow sports. I don't even know why I picked a sports analogy because I don't follow sports.
Now you got to be stupid, right? You got to commit, but I'll pick you up. Don't worry about it.
Let's say we start in high school. For that person, you know, that person has to give what? 50% effort in high school and he's just a standout because he has natural ability. That's most of us as entrepreneurs. Like most of us in this space, we're just really, we happen to be really good at what we do and we're going to be relatively successful no matter what we do.
I agree with that.
If we want to take it to that next level, those are the guys that I work with. You know, people always say, what's the difference between that and the big dogs? It's the same thing as an athlete. Like the guys that are playing on the, you know, the it's NHL hockey.
NHL hockey.
I have basketball in my head, but that's that's NBA.
No. Okay, hold on. We got to pause here for a second. Okay, quick sports rundown. NFL's football, NBA's basketball, MLB's baseball, NHL's hockey. All right, now we can
MLB's
pick it back up.
What?
MLB, Major League Baseball. Christina,
what does MLB stand for?
Major League Baseball.
Oh, Major League Baseball.
I love you.
It doesn't even make any sense. Let's talk about basketball. So,
okay, basketball analogy.
NBA player in the basketball is not this, like they started at the same place, but there's all of that stuff in between. I've read some stuff about some really cool things that coaches do to take really elite athletes from the best in the world to being able to break world records. And they're tiny little tweaks. I mean, they're like, you're going to have to, here's what your stride is now. They measure this hundreds of thousands of steps. And they say, in order for you to break the world record though, or the Olympic record, you've got to increase every single step by this millimeter. And how do we do that? We're going to change what you wear. We're going to figure out how you stomp the ground a millimeter harder to get one extra little thing. The level of detail that goes into these people becoming world-class athletes is insane. And they're not big tweaks. They're little tweaks, but somebody has to be in the background going, let's look at this.
Yeah.
Let's figure out how you are compared to how everyone else is. And let's make the tweaks that are necessary. That's the part that we don't want though. We want the moment. We want the slam dunk. We want the 3-point shot at the end of the game. And we're trained to see that and crave that because even, you know, we don't watch training. That's boring. We don't watch the NBA players train and shoot and shoot and shoot. We watch the moment. So we're addicted to the moment.
It's such a great analogy, especially the fact that you don't even like follow sports, but it's so true. So does the conversation then, Christina, in your mind need to shift? Because what stops the great investors or the great entrepreneurs from being the elite? Is it a mindset thing that they're just not, they say they want it, but they're not willing to go the extra mile, go above and beyond? Kobe Bryant, for example, one of my favorite basketball players of all time. His God-given talent and ability was just out of this world. Unbelievable, right? But he woke up every day at 4 a.m. and he'd be at the gym by 5 shooting free throws every single day. And that's what made him one of the greatest players of all time. You can talk about LeBron James, Michael Jordan, all those guys went that extra mile. So Do you think it just boils down to a mindset thing? Like, how do we as entrepreneurs and investors become the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the Kobe Bryants of our space? Like, is it a mindset thing?
I think it's partially a mindset. So it's first just owning the fact that, all right, I can't always have these moments. My entire life can't be these amazing moments. They will be, but I have to recognize the fact that that doesn't just happen. So I'm not going to, yes, sometimes it does. And then we get sucked into it. Like we're like addicted to it. Like, oh, I changed my postcard and it was amazing. And then you go, well, how come it didn't keep working that way? Because that's not how it happens, but we keep chasing these big moments. So that's the first thing.
Okay.
The second thing is, yes, there's a discipline issue. Kobe gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but Kobe doesn't think he can do it by himself.
That's right.
My guys understand that sometimes they need to bring people to the table or automate things or create some structure around what they're doing that keeps them accountable and makes them go, don't you dare stop this, and can prove it. So with my clients from a direct mail standpoint, because we go through the ups and downs just like everybody else does, mm-hmm. the way that we combat that though is through data and analytics. So you know I'm going to get back to that. If my client goes, this doesn't work anymore, then we can go back to a year's worth of data and say, no, stop.
The numbers never lie.
Take your emotion out of it. Let's look at the past year. Let's look at 2 years worth of data. Let's look at a history of direct mail. This is totally normal. What's happening is totally normal. Calm down. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Now, it doesn't hurt to have, you know, Kobe Bryant has world-class trainers who've worked with elite athletes all their lives. So they know now. They're like, oh, I know what to do in this situation. Oh, I know what we need to do. Oh, we need to shift here. We need to do that. I am all about surrounding yourself with rock stars and you keep to your rock star activity. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like whatever it is that your genius zone is, and everybody knows, it's different for everybody. You know what it is. Surround yourself with a team of people and stop complaining about how much it costs you to do this, or stop overestimating your own ability to do it yourself. That's called running a business.
Yes.
You're working in your business and not on your business. Figure out what your genius zone is and protect that genius zone at all costs. If that means that you need to hire somebody to do your marketing, hire somebody to do your marketing. If that means you need to hire somebody to run follow-up sequences on your lead, dadgum do it. And stop thinking that you can do everything better than everybody else, or you're focusing on the wrong thing.
You absolutely nailed it. I mean, there's so much to unpack there, but to piggyback, and one thing that hasn't been brought up is that, and I wasn't always like this, but the last several years, I've learned that you have to ask yourself the right types of questions. And it's a who question, not necessarily a what question. It's not necessarily what's the best postcard. I get those questions all the time. You know, what piece is converting the most? Shift the question to who can help you figure out how to get the most out of your leads, right? I think if people just made that one little tweak in addition to everything you just outlined, it can totally change the game for them. And also, it's, you know, right now it's very relevant because a couple of weeks ago, the big thing was Kylie Jenner became the youngest self-made billionaire, right? And I don't watch
Did she cross that line?
She just recently
I heard that she was like pacing for it.
So she just recently crossed that line. She's like 2021, like respect. That's insane, right?
It's insane.
But the word self-made was tossed around so much. And I don't know about you, but I would challenge that. I don't believe anybody to any level of success, much less a billionaire, does it self-made. Like you said, to your point, you have to surround yourself with those rock stars that have their genius zone and let them do what they do. Realize that you're not going to be good at everything, right?
Also, I don't think we are created to be an island. Like, if nothing else. So I think you're so smart to surround yourself, if you have the ability to do it, with people who are really, really good at what they do. Let them do what they do and let them make you even better. Mm-hmm. But even more than that, like I said, it's about relationship. No man is an island. And I think Kobe Bryant gets up every day at 4:30 because he knows that there's a whole other team of people who are counting on him getting up and doing his part.
So true.
You know, if it was just up to him, I guarantee you, I think the most disciplined people in the world, if it was just up to them, I don't think that they would do it. And I think they recognize that. Yeah. I think sometimes I was just talking to somebody about this. I think sometimes it's funny because we have lead managers that we drop into our clients' businesses. They're virtual. But we find that just the fact that they exist as auditors of the lead, just the fact that the team now knows that somebody's going to be listening to the calls and auditing them and making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that fact alone changes everything. Like all of a sudden, everybody's running more efficiently. And it's not because that person's there to like put the hammer down. I'm telling you, I figured out, I wish I'd figured this out earlier, I need accountability in my life. In order for me to be, I have to have somebody that I'm accountable to. It doesn't even have to be somebody who's more than me. It could be somebody who works for me. It could be an employee that I'm accountable to. It could be my kids. It could be anybody. You know what I mean?
Christina, here's an example that I can kind of relate because it's fairly recent. I went on vacation over the holidays. This was beginning of January. January 4th, I got back. I stepped in the scale and I was almost 175 pounds, which I have never been north of 171 my entire life. I put on like 12 pounds, which I'm not a big dude. I'm 5'7". Like that's a lot of weight for me, right? So immediately I hired a trainer. Just that one action forced me to get up early, go to the gym and meet somebody because number one, I'm paying somebody. Number two, they're waiting for me. I think as entrepreneurs, we have to figure out, first of all, self-awareness is huge. We have to figure out what makes us tweak and, or what makes us tick, I should say. And then how do we set up our environment for success, right? How do we do these hacks that force us to be, hold ourselves accountable? I love what I wrote it down. You said you hold your clients, what was it you said? Accountability to greatness.
We hold our clients and ourselves accountable to greatness.
Correct.
Like, you're better than this. You know, sometimes you need somebody to go, come on, dude, you're better than this. Knock it off. Get up. Keep going. Stop it. Stop crying about this. Like, let's do this. Sometimes you just need people to do that.
Absolutely. And I'll give you props here. I don't even think, well, you may know this, but you spoke in front of a very large group of some of the most successful investors in the country, over 100 of them, back in early December. I was already starting to implement doing some lead audit myself, but after I heard your talk, within a week, I literally hired a part-time lead audit manager, which is the equivalent of your virtual lead manager. And I can tell you that the results I've been able to taste the results. Just my lead manager, my acquisitions manager, knowing that somebody is listening to these calls, listening to these appointments, making sure I's are dotted, T's are crossed, that one hire has kind of changed things for us.
Oh, so true. And here's what I love about what you're saying. Sean, one of my, I was just with Sean McCloskey.
I still love you guys. That dude, I mean, I saw that picture. What a great group of people. I had FOMO.
What's that?
I had FOMO, fear of missing out. I was like, I need to like Photoshop myself in that picture.
Okay, we'll make sure next time. I'm telling you, but he's one of those people, and we all need people like that in our lives. And listen, don't make the excuse of, oh, I don't have friends like that. I don't have, like, because in my environment, in my world, I agree, like in my personal world, you know, I have to go outside of that to get accountability like that from the business standpoint. Yeah. But knock it off, because you could hire, if you have to hire somebody, hire somebody. Because that's what Sean was saying to me, you know, because I hate to say it. I'm gonna admit something awful here.
No, please do.
The biggest complaint that people have about me, you're gonna be like, yeah, I totally agree. You're supposed to fight me on this. But the biggest complaint that people have about me, I'm not going to lie, is that I'm awful about following up. It's not because I don't want to, but I'm really bad about getting back to people.
I can't lie. I'm not going to lie. I gotta keep it real. We've had this conversation. You know that.
I know.
But you want to know what? We all have heard
through the grapevine people say, I've tried to hire her. I've tried to give her money. She doesn't get back to me. She must not care. Or that must mean that they're not good at what they're, you know, that I don't want to have that in my business. And that's 100% my fault. And here's what's hilarious. This is what I speak on. This is what I teach. I stink and struggle with it myself. Guess what I'm about to hire? I literally came back because Sean was like, Christina, here you are. teaching people how to follow up, have accountability, follow up, all that stuff. Pardo, I am literally, like, on Monday, I'm interviewing to have somebody whose only job, and I'm not, this is what drives me crazy. This is a mistake that people make all the time. I don't have 40 hours worth of work for somebody to do. What am I going to fill their time with? I can't. And I don't care if that person's only job is to sit behind me and go, hey, did you call that person back? What are you doing? Here's your calendar. What we decided, I talked to my business partner and we were like, the amount of money and business that we lose on account of the fact that I have a proven track record of this. So here's the thing. Here's what I've done for 2 years. I know it's not who I want to be. I know it's not what I want, but I have, at some point, you have to believe yourself. If you can look back at your history and go, man, this is something I struggle with. Like, I'm really bad about this and I hate that I'm bad about it. I know that I should be following up on my leads. I know that I should be processing those thousands of postcards of return mail that are in the corner of my office. I have the best of intentions to do it, but I have a proven track record of not doing this. Then do whatever the heck you have to do to put a level of accountability into place to make you stop that bad habit. So I could spend all of this time and energy working on being a better person in that area because I hate that about myself. Right. Or I can go, okay, I'm going to trust myself and my history. And if I have to hire, pay somebody to just sit there and go, did you do that? Did you do that? Did you do that? Let me have that. Call that. Then that's what I'm going to do.
I love it. And here's the beauty of what you're saying for everybody listening. You have to take, I think, self-audit yourself and say, what do I suck at? Where am I falling short? Where am I not, 10Xing my life, my business? Like, what areas am I failing in? The first step to fix it is to acknowledge it, recognize it. Second step is to take some type of action. I love the fact that Sean, somebody that you hold in high regard, held you accountable. You got back and you did something about it, because chances are, had you not, Christina, you would have fallen back into your same pattern. You know what I'm saying? And then God knows how much money
I've done this for 2 years. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and by the way, we all have faults. We all have areas where we like fall, but ask yourself, like, do you know what those areas are? And are you willing to make a change? But let me ask you this. Was it helpful for you when you put a dollar amount to how much revenue was lost by you not following up? Like, what was the trigger for you? Was it Sean? Was it literally just
a conversation? It was a little bit of a reverse. It was a reverse. Okay. But yes. Yes. So it was a little bit of a reverse. For me, it was, if that person allows me to sign even one more client in a year, it's paid for. And I don't, I start to address this thing that affects every other part of me and my business. I guarantee you it affects how good of a business person that I am. And I think I do a really good job of what I do, but I think one of those things that keeps me from going from like, now, what am I? I'm college. I'm not high school. Maybe I'm college, but that keeps me from NBA. Like, I'm playing college basketball. I'm doing really good. Yeah. But the thing that keeps me from going NBA, honestly, is that. So you go, okay, seriously, I'm going to stop because, Pardo, I read books about it. I make promises about it. I put stuff into place in my life. And I've even convinced myself that it's my job to fix it. Like, this is a personal issue. This is a problem. You need to fix this problem. And I finally was like, you know what? There's so much in our businesses that we do. If you're not consistent with your marketing and you know you're not, and you have a history of constantly not being able to be methodical and consistent about what you do, or you have a history of getting in your emotions about something, stop. Believe yourself. Stop trying to make your, like, force your own self, teach your own self to be better at something that is clearly not your genius zone. Focus on your genius zone and do whatever else you have to do to put into place whatever else you have to do for the things that are holding you back. I know if I don't always have that nagging thing in the back of my head, like, I know there's somebody I should be getting back to that I'm not getting back to, I know that that will also make me more effective in everything else I do.
You literally took the words out of my mouth. Whether you realize it or not, guys, it takes mental equity, and it holds you back from, I think, being the best version of yourself when you know there's things. Like, I'll tell you, so my equivalent is my email inbox and my voicemail inbox. is so cluttered. I'm talking thousands of emails and messages. And I do a pretty good job with that, making sure things don't slip through the cracks. But I know that it's taking up mental equity, something so small. And so every single one of us can relate. What is taking up mental equity that is holding you back? And as small as it may seem, just get it out of your life. It's going to free you up mentally to be the best version of yourself. And here's where I think this whole conversation comes full circle is it's a who question. Who can help me get to that next level? Who can take me from college to the MBA? For you, it was a conversation with Sean. You made a decision. I'm hiring someone. And I think, again, it goes back to who can help take me to the next level? What's the one thing I can do that's holding me back? Like, start to ask yourself these types of questions. You're going to find the answers. It's going to appear.
And I think you ask that question in every area of your business. Am I a marketing genius? If you're not, go hire a marketing genius. Why would you do anything different? Yeah. Am I a acquisition genius? Yes, perfect. Focus on building the rockest, starrest, acquisitionist team you've ever had in your entire life. Whatever. Figure yep. out what you're really, really, really good at and protect that. Like, make sure your team protects it. You tell your team, listen, if you guys want me to take this business to the next level, you'll help me protect this piece. This piece is what 90% of my time needs to be focused on this piece. You know what I mean?
I love that.
You ask yourself that question about every area of your business. And then you say, okay, who do I need to bring to the table? Who do I need to bring to the table? How do I make this process better? As you do that, I can't tell you how many times people come to me and they say, okay, my goal, I did, 160 deals last year. I want to do 20% more, 30% more, whatever the, you got to be realistic. Although I've seen people do some really crazy stuff when they did the right thing and made the right tweaks. More often than not, a 20% growth for a business per year is, that's pretty rock star stuff. If you just look at standards, right?
Yep.
Honestly, I think tiny little tweaks in terms of you stop trying to have your hand in every single stinking little thing and trying to be a genius in everything. You're not a genius in everything. You're a genius in one or two things. Other than that, figure out a way to get somebody else who's really, really good at it to do it. So that it not even so that it takes the work off your plate, so that you're not using your genius brain power in an area that weakens you in the area that you're really good at.
So smart. I mean, just the wisdom in that is, I think you nailed it. So let me ask you two follow-up questions because I really want to make this practical for people listening so that when they stop listening to this podcast, they know exactly what to do. What are your thoughts? Like if somebody's, I'm going to throw two questions your way, right? If somebody's listening and they say, I don't know what my genius zone is. And I know that there's exercises out there to help you with that, but I'm curious from your perspective, if somebody says, I don't really know what I'm really, really, really good at. Like, how do I know where my lane is, so to speak? That's the first question. The second question is, if somebody understands that it's a who question, not a what question, they need to get a rock star in their life, but yet they're not doing it, which goes to your point at the beginning of our conversation, what has to happen for them to take it from a theory and I understand this to actually taking that type of action? And I realize those are like kind of, there's a lot of different directions we can go in there, but let's kind of tackle the first one as far as the genius zone is concerned.
Yeah, let's go. Like I love just like a simple action step. So for me, if I wasn't sure what my genius zone is, I would ask myself the question, if I could wake up, like what would make me excited to wake up and excited to work? Like, or to do what? Okay, let's take even work out of it. Like, if I could get up and do anything and I could be really excited and it could make me love my life, I'd be like, man, I really like this. And I'm not talking about, we all have moments when we're like, oh, I wish I didn't have to do that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying there has to be something. Okay, and I'll tell you this. If you're in real estate and there's no function that you're performing in real estate that you can say that about, then you're in the wrong profession.
Wrong business.
Wrong business. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But there should be something that you get up and go, man, if I could just do that all day long, I would be so happy. It doesn't have to be a running your business thing. It could be like, man, if my only job could be to just for 2 hours a day, look at the data and the global numbers of my business and just make sure I'm really good, because that's what I'm good at. I'm really good at big picture stuff. You give me data, you give me numbers, because it's not just about data. You have to be able to interpret it, right? So that's when I look at it, I go, there's your hole. There's your hole. You need to fix that. You need to fix that. That's incredible. Look at that. That's really what business ownership is supposed to be out. A lot of us think we own businesses, and what we do is we run businesses. We work operating the business, not on the business. So, you know, if that excites you, figure out a way then to do that. I mean, you should have a life. You shouldn't be hustling forever. There's a time to hustle, you know, but we're over that. We're over hustling. And if you honestly think you can hustle your way into a not hustle, you're 100% wrong. Everybody thinks they can do that. They think they can work their way into not working.
Yeah.
You've got to start now. You have to say, if I don't want to work 80 hours a week, I want to work 20 hours a week. You have to start doing things right now. Don't convince yourself that you're going to work yourself into to a 20-hour work week. You're never going to do it. I've worked with enough people. I've seen that enough. It's not going to happen. Tried to do it myself. You have to just go, nope, I'm going to start working 20 hours a week. How do I do that?
Yeah.
So, you know, figure out what you love doing. I also have business owners who love going on appointments. Go on appointments.
Right,
just make sure that you're not doing anything else. Don't answer the phone. Don't make notes. Hire other people to do that. Just say, you know what? If I could sit across the kitchen table and close 2 deals a week, I would be so happy. Do that then.
Yeah,
create a team around you that does nothing but puts you at a kitchen table and takes every other task away from you.
Completely agree with you. Here's the caveat, just to play devil's advocate, and feel free to push back on me. What about the people that would say, okay, this is what I'd want to do within the business, but they absolutely suck at it, right? Like, I like basketball, but I'm not a very good basketball player. Like, not that I'd play basketball all day, but like, that's just a small example. So I agree with you on 90% of the people, but I bet you there's going to be a small portion of people out there that would say, hey, this is what I really want to do, but that's just not their zone. They're just not good at it. And granted, they can, you can get better at your weaknesses, but I'm a bigger believer in doubling down on your strengths. So, you know, but again, we're speaking to 90% of the people. I think it's a small minority of people that say, this is what I want to do, but you gotta be honest with yourself. I mean, are you good at it? That your thing, right?
I think we're talking about the difference between passion and livelihood is what we're talking about. So, you know, our goal for lead gen, when we do lead gen with our clients is, you know, we look at, you know, we send out a huge, you know, list, like a pre-filtered list. So maybe 25,000 leads. Our ultimate goal with data and analytics is to get that 25,000 name list. What's the 20 to 30% of that list where 70 to 80% of your yield is coming from, right? And we, and the numbers tell you that. That's how you get really good at marketing, is you figure out what works and, or what works best and what works less. It would be the equivalent of a client coming to me and me saying, okay, here's the 20 to 30% of your list that works really well. It's this lead type. It's that lead type. We need to figure out a way to target this. And then they go, well, I know, but I really, really, really love working with people who are tax delinquent. And they fall in that 70 to 80%. But man, I love working with them. And here's all the reasons why I love working with them. And I really want to keep that in my list. And this does happen. And I go, okay, I understand that. You can do whatever you want. Okay, you need, but if what you're asking me is how you make the most money and how you're most efficient, then this is the list that we need to chase. I know you really like this list, but that's called passion. And I actually think that's awesome. That's what you spend your personal time on. That's your hobby. That's your love. Make that distinction, but don't chase your love and passion in business if it doesn't make monetary sense for you to do so, unless you're just really rich and can afford to do that and you want to do that. Whoa, you know, knock yourself out.
That makes so much sense. I appreciate you bringing that full circle, because it's crystal clear to me now. And you're right. If you love doing something, don't not do it. If that's what like fills your cup and gives you that joy and excitement, definitely do it. Just make sure that if you're going to do that in your business, it's something that's actually going to produce revenue and going to help your bottom line, not hurt it. So this is awesome.
Or you accept that it's a loss and stop focusing so much attention on trying to make it work, because that's huge. Yes. If you want it in your business, you know, because people have businesses like that. I work with people who have like 3 different sectors of their business, and they have like retail, flipping, and some info marketing. Mm-hmm. And this is a great example. Info marketing is not making any money, but they love it. They just love the bejesus out of it, which is, I'm not hating on that. I like being from the stage, that feeds a part of me, blah, blah, blah. No problem. Keep it. But here's what the mistake that they make. They're making a crap ton of money over here. They try to put a bunch of time and effort because they love this into this to make it make money. And it's not working. And my thing is, if you want to keep it, but see it for what it is and stop taking your genius and trying to cram it into something that's not working. And that's when people get into trouble. You know what I mean? Because they take something that's working, then they shift all of their time and attention to something that has, now I'm talking about a proven track record of this is not the best use of your time. This is not your genius zone. But they keep working on something. I mean, there's all kinds of leadership courses out there, right? That go, don't spend all of your time and effort trying to make yourself better in an area that maybe if you're at 20%, maybe you can go to 50%. Put your time and effort at the 80% so you can get to 100%.
Agreed. I co-sign on that. I recently heard John Maxwell, who has authored over 80-something books. I mean, the guy is amazing. So if you guys haven't read any of John Maxwell's books, and he spoke about that very thing, double, triple down on your strengths. Don't buy into the narrative that you have to focus on your weaknesses. Yeah, you can improve a little bit, but like you said, you might be able to get from 20% to 50%, but that 30% increase, is it really going to move the needle for you versus if you focused on what you were really, really good at? You know what I'm saying? That's for a lot of people, here's a good thing. For a lot of people, what they're really good at happens to be what they like. Not always, but often, right? At least in my experience. So this is awesome. So your company right now, you guys do done for you marketing, you do consulting, right? And then now as of the last, 6 months or so, maybe 3 months, you've been offering virtual lead managers,
right?
So
our lead gen is everything we do is based in data and analytics. So we study the numbers and then we follow the numbers at the end of the day. So for our direct mail clients, we do the lead gen. We use data and analytics to go into their particular territory, study it, get really good at finding motivated sellers in their area, get their list smaller, not bigger. I'm about getting leaner and more nimble. From a consulting standpoint, we do the same thing with all of their campaigns and their employees. So we go in, you know, we look at a certain period of time and we say, okay, let's look at all of your numbers. Let's analyze them. We take all of their data and then we interpret it and help them see where the strengths and weaknesses are in their businesses. Mm-hmm. And then from that kind of experience, we're able to create these kind of break the box products where we see that even the big dogs are struggling. And that was where we saw the biggest area of missed opportunity in all real estate people's business. I don't care if you're in info marketing, wholesaling, flipping, realtor, whatever. The biggest weakness and missed opportunity that people have is following up on leads. And you know, they're taking the low-hanging fruit and then they're letting it go. And it's one of those areas where we identified people understand it. I don't have a problem selling people on that idea. They understand they're missing all the opportunity, but they keep saying they're going to do it and they don't. So, you know, we've created this virtual lead manager that we pre-screen, pre-train. We just drop them into your business. They can hit the ground sprinting and not only run follow-up sequences, audit your leads and run follow-up sequences on the leads coming into your business, but even go back into the bucket of old leads that you have to revive them. It's taking over. We call them VLMs. They're virtual lead managers. I certainly suggest in your own business, if you're not doing follow-up, that is let me put it this way. If you can honestly say, how do I look into the camera? If you don't have a sequence, like if you don't have a set automated sequence for follow-up, you have no business starting a new marketing campaign of any kind. You're throwing away your money. And I'm saying that nicely. You're literally throwing away your money. Start your follow-up sequences on the leads that you are already paying for in your business. You're not even paying for any new leads. Stop getting, you know, like, ooh, let me try that. And oh, everybody asks me, what's the hottest lead? What's the lead that's working right now? You want to know the lead that's working right now? It's the one that's in your business that you're not converting.
Bingo. I have been telling people the most expensive lead to generate is the one you don't have. I guarantee you for 99% of people listening to this, they have deals in their CRM. Podio is littered, or FreedomSoft, or whatever system people are using, it's littered with revenue and deals that people are not capitalizing on, right? And I think a big part of it is to your point, they don't have a follow-up system. So here's the question I have that I think can benefit people listening. What does, in your mind, you work with some of the biggest guys out there, and I'm not asking for, you know, anybody's system or anything, but just generally speaking, what does an effective follow-up system look like?
All right. So again, everything we do is rooted in data and analytics. So the coolest thing about our community of virtual lead managers is that we're, in order to come in with us, you have to allow us to track your follow-up sequences, like the effectiveness of it. Where's the perfect period of time? Because follow-up sequences fall into two categories. One is a human being making a decision about what kind of follow-up is necessary. And the other one is an automated sequence, happens automatically, systematically. And there's value to both of them. Okay. But if I could tell you, and I don't know this definitively yet, but if I can tell you that, you know, 93% of the leads that you get in follow-up are going to happen at the between the 30 and 120 day mark, then there's value to a human being making a decision on every single one of those leads. So it's individual, because everybody wants to know what the sequence is. You want to know what the sequence is? The sequence is adding humanity, which, you know, I'm big on this. Like, there's some really big guys out there, and there's virtual this, and we don't have to touch anybody. What's going to differentiate us from these big guys who are coming, and we can't do anything to stop them, guys? They're coming. So you can convince yourself all you want that they're not coming, but they are.
Are you talking about the iBuyers of the world?
I'm talking about iBuyers. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I don't want to get into a debate about it, because people are like, oh, they're never going to last. I think they're going to last, I think they're going to take over a huge portion.
I would side on your side of that. So yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I think the way that we stay relevant is to automate and create structure and processes just like they do where it makes sense, but to add in humanity where it makes sense. And I believe that of the follow-up sequence as well. So you hear a lot of people now saying automated follow-up sequences. Well, that's great. But what happens to the lady that told you point blank that you lost the deal because Meridian offered her $2,000 more than you, and she's taking that, and they're closing on March 29th?
It's painful.
How are you going to automate that follow-up? Where do you think the value lies? Putting her in an automated sequence that sends her an email, like a generic email, or calling her on March 30th and going, hey, just wanted to follow up. I know that you, Meridian was going to buy your house, and I just wanted to make sure. I know you said it's going to close March 29th. Did that close? Is there anything more that I could do for you? I'm not making that scenario up, guys. This stuff happens.
Dude, you're preaching. Correct me if I'm wrong, Christina. The way that I look at automated follow-up sequences, it's the cherry on a sundae. It's the icing on a cake. The human follow-up component is the cake, right? Like, you cannot rely on robots and technology to do all of your follow-up. I mean, yeah, it can happen, but you're losing opportunity. You need somebody that is out there being proactive about getting in front of the leads, getting in front of the sellers you have in your system. I'm telling you, we've seen a little bit of a spike ever since I had that lead audit manager in place. And that's why I absolutely love what you're doing. So it's not just data and analytics, but there's an accountability component. I think that's the two-prong attack that now you guys are offering, you know, which is awesome.
And you're going to see it too. Again, data, numbers, blah, blah, blah. You're going to see it. There's going to hit a tipping point of a diminishing return where it's not worth it for a human being to follow up with that thing every week, where you go, okay, I have enough data now, and I have enough information now to make an unemotional decision that at the 222nd day, we have a drop-off. We're going to keep following up, but we're going to throw them into an automated sequence where there's an automatic text that goes out. There's a postcard that goes out every once in a while. And what's that sequence, right? So, by the way, I'm going to make a push for masterminds, because what makes my company most valuable to my clients is the shared economy of data. You know, I'm working with a lot of big clients, so I can look at all of them and I can go, okay, now let's compress everybody's data like this. And now we can really see some cool patterns and some cool stuff. That's what I'm excited about with the virtual lead managers, because I'm going to be able to tell you in relatively short order, as we get more and more of these guys running sequences, what's the right sequence? What's the right thing to say? When is the drop-off point? Here's my point, because everybody doesn't have access to that. I understand that.
Right.
Masterminds do that for you, people. masterminds create this, you know, it's not just about going and learning. It's also about gathering the global, you know, shared economy of data. So that people can say, because you might think you're doing great. And then everybody else might say, oh, no, we're booking at a 30% appointment rate. And you're like, oh, dang, I was only doing 5%. That's the kind of information that you need to have to know where, you know, you can get better.
That's so powerful. And realize that market to market, some of this data is going to change. But generally speaking, there's some of the KPIs that for the most part, you're going to have a little bit of a delta, but not that much. And that's where being a part of a group like that can really give you that competitive advantage and that edge that a lot of other people in your market probably just don't have. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of this boils down to seeing masterminds, consultants, coaches as an investment, not a cost. What's the value you're getting, not what's the dollar you're spending?
That's right. And if you want legs in this business, there's got to be some period of time where you just commit to, okay, I'm serious about this. You know, these NBA players didn't just waltz onto a court somewhere. At some point, they had to sit down and make a decision and say, do I really want to do this 12 hours a day nonstop? You know, like, do I really want to make the commitment to go from here to here? And if you're really happy here, which is where most people in life are, in life go from high school to college, they're in college and they go, I'm good. This is a good life. I like it. And I'm not hating on that. I want to play in the NBA. That doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You have to make a commitment. You have to make a, you know, financial commitment, a time commitment, a mental commitment, all of those things to play in the NBA.
You got to fall in love with
Alex Pardo, because Alex Pardo plays in the NBA.
There you go. No, I'm not. I'm always striving to get to that next point. You know, and that's the thing too, is that like realize that I think you have to fall in love with the journey. And I didn't always believe that, right? I was always so focused on the destination. But the destination, I don't know. Maybe it was Sean McCloskey, our good friend. Maybe it was him that told me, dude, when you get to the destination, you're gonna set a new destination because that's how you're hardwired. It's just a point, like. 98-99% of the time is going to be spent on the journey. You have to fall in love with that process. And I think you have to have the mentality that you're always striving for growth, for greatness, to use your term. That's what needs to get embedded into your DNA. You know, and even if you're fine at this level, that's fine, but just recognize it for what it's worth and accept it and be happy and don't complain when you're not getting the results you want. So, I don't know what else we should just, I think we should stop right here, but in all seriousness, like, in kind of wrapping up here in the next 2 to 3 minutes, anything we haven't spoken about or anything that we need to kind of dig a little bit deeper on, anything that we've discussed that can bring this home for people? Like, what's the, in your mind, Christina, what's the just step one, step two when people stop listening to this podcast?
Step one, make the decision about where you're playing. What's the playground you're going to play on? And own it and don't apologize for it. But also understand the fact that you don't get invited to play on the different play. Like it's a decision.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just happen. Cause I think people see the big guys and they assume that somehow it just happened and it didn't. Yeah. It didn't. There was an awful lot that went into those moments, you know, but all we see is the three dot, you know, the game. We see the end, finals, the NBA finals, whatever. Yeah. So step number one, make the decision about where you're going to play. Step number two, I think you need to honestly evaluate your business, like go into your business and go, where are the areas that I need improvement? Where is it that it makes sense for me to work on the improvement for this? And where does it make sense for me to either A, hire someone else to be in charge of improving this area, or what do I need to do? You know, because I understand that not everybody has the finances or, you know, although that's such a hard thing for me. Like, because I feel like sometimes people think that I know that in order for me to be better about follow up and make the money, I have to be willing to spend the money. To have put the person in place to hold them accountable. Yep. I know you're going to make a crap ton of money on follow-up, but if you never do it, you don't hire the person that's going to do it, you're never going to do it. You know, so that's a little bit of a difficult conversation. But I do think it all starts with you being really honest about where you are. You said it, something like acknowledging where you are is the first step. And I think it's really, really, really important that, you know, we all fall into two categories. There's the guy that is completely clueless, and we all know these people. They really don't even know what needs to be improved. They don't know, you know, they're just kind of going and they're not aware. And then there's the probably where the majority of us fall is we kind of know. We see those postcards sitting in the corner of our office that needs to be filtered out, scrubbed out of our returned mail and re-forwarded that have been sitting there for 6 months. We know we have these nagging, freaking things. We see all the emails in our inbox. We know we're not getting back to people. We know we're not following up on our leads, you know, but we're just, I call it dangerously optimistic. That's what I am. I'm dangerously optimistic. I'm always like, oh, I'm going to get to it. I'll do it. I'm going to get to it. I'll do it. So I think we have to look at, you know, look at your life and go, nope, I've been saying that. I don't know if maybe there should be a time frame. Like, I've been saying that for 3 months now and I haven't done it. I'm going to take it off my plate and get somebody else to do it. That's what I think. I'm going to do that.
You nailed it. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, beautiful. Dangerously optimistic. There's so many nuggets I am stealing from you and I'm using. By the way, you don't know this. I have probably said on this podcast on, I want to say at least 3 to 4 episodes, scale to get better, not bigger. And I've put your name attached to it because when you told, matter of fact, I don't know if you remember this. So this wasn't our last mastermind, but the previous one where I brought something to the table and you told me scale to be better, not bigger. You gave me that advice. I don't know if that was the first time you said that, but that's what you told me. And it really hit me between the eyes. So
I love it.
Thank you for that. Thank you for coming on here and just kind of being raw and sharing. You know, obviously you can tell you're really passionate about this and you're really talented at it. So for people that don't have that data geek in them, that don't even know where to start, that are doing deals or crushing, but just don't have that component. Guys, we've set up a page. If you go to flipempire.com/Christina, her company offers 3 different services that may or may not be of interest to you. But if it is, check it out. Done for you marketing is number one. Consulting, which essentially is like data autopsy. It's really digging into
all that's exactly data. What it is.
Data autopsy, right? And then the third one is virtual lead manager. So if you need somebody to audit your leads and hold your team accountable, that's the service that, you know, the hole that you plugged for the market that wasn't there before you started offering that service. So I don't know if you have anything to add to that, but you know, for anybody that might have any interest in working with you, I would definitely encourage you guys to check her out, flipempire.com/Christina. So anything else?
No, man, I love you. That's all. You know that. I'm telling you, I'm so pumped. I'm going to see you here in a week, right?
Well, actually, I think so. When this episode gets released, we would have already just been hanging out with each other. So yeah, but at the time that they're recording this, we're going to see each other in a couple of weeks.
So we'll have to do this again, and we'll have to tell stories because Alex and I like we normally end up with some stories.
I don't know how many stories are going to end up on this show, but yes, absolutely, amazing.
We'll tell you the stuff we can tell you about.
Yes, correct. Now I'm blushing. So awesome, my friend. I love you. You are awesome in every sense of the word. I really appreciate you.
Love your family. Oh my gosh, you. Need to post a picture of your wife and kids at some point if you haven't. Alex Pardo, like in our groups, it's kind of like the funny thing because they're like the most gorgeous. Well, aside from Alex, his family is the most gorgeous. Them.
They're the gorgeous ones, not me. So
no, his wife is spectacular. His kids are just unbelievable. I love you.
Thank you so much. We view you as a part of the family, and it's awesome how close we've gotten over the course of the last 2 years or whatever it's been. So thank you for hopping on here for round 2.
Thanks for having me, guys. Just crush it, guys. If there's anything I could do for you, let me know. I'd love to meet you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Christina.
All right. Talk soon. Yeah.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.